Our topic for today is rebuilding trust brick by brick. I'm going to read from the Reflections of Hope, July 23rd, page 205. It's called Trusting with Eyes Wide Open. I came into Essanon with broken trust. My sexaholic husband had betrayed me, and I no longer trusted anything he said or did. I see now that I didn't even trust myself or know how to trust a higher power. It frightened me that I had not been aware of my husband's sexual acting out for many years. How could I trust I would not be fooled if he should act out again? Through participating in the Essanon Fellowship, my ability to trust slowly grew. First, I began learning to trust members of my group, and I took a risk to share some of my secrets and struggles. I experienced acceptance, love, and understanding. This process started to heal my damaged trust and empowered me to experience my higher power's love and acceptance. I began to see God guiding me through this difficult process of my recovery, one step at a time. Amazingly, I started to trust myself again and began to believe that I would be okay, no matter what my husband was doing in his life. My perception of trusting my spouse is different now. Trust is not blind or absolute. Trusting my higher power and myself has to be part of trusting my spouse and others. Trust is loving with eyes wide open. Learning to trust in a healthy way is a gift of the Essanon program. Further reflections. Remaining silent is always our option, but eventually we found that sharing with other members and with a sponsor helped us to grow. Working the Essanon program, second edition, page 6. So hi, I'm Kim. I'm gonna just share for a few minutes because I want there to be enough time for all of you to share. The topic, rebuilding trust brick by brick. Something that I really liked in the reading, which I absolutely relate to, is being so scared to trust. I have always had issues with trust, but I always trusted my spouse from the moment I met him. I feel like I have a read on people, which obviously was not an accurate read, where I could meet someone and know right away if they were trustworthy or not. And Ed was just someone who I met right away, and I knew he was the person that I could trust. I never doubted anything that he said. My eyes were absolutely closed. When I started to find little discoveries and asked about them and then was, you know, told different reasons, I just trusted it. I never questioned it because I trusted him. When the discovery happened and I had to start to learn to trust again, it was literally, like it says, building it brick by brick. My problem that I have is when I start to build the bricks up and something happens that is a minor little thing, and I think he was not trustworthy, all of a sudden the bricks are gone, and it's like starting from bottom again, and that's something that I need to work on. I have a hard time with one little flaw being able to continue forward and not thinking that means that there's acting out, and you know, you're betraying me because you forgot to take the trash out. So that's like something I need to work on continuously and not have it be all or nothing. But it's a daily struggle, and it's something that I feel communication between the two of us, asking questions, being open and honest with each other, and me, again, having my eyes wide open and not just expecting that something's happening, that there's trust there, but being able to discuss how I felt about something and how that made me feel like it wasn't truthful. And then him being able to tell me, you know, exactly what it was. And it's a journey. It's something that I have to work on daily. I can't sit up here and say, like, I absolutely trust my spouse, because it's never going to be a 100% trust. It's going to always be something one day at a time that I have to take and learn from with my experiences. And that was my 3 minutes. I see the timer over here ticking away, and I'm going to pass it on to Ed.
Hi, I'm Ed, sexaholic.
Hi, Ed.
So my reading is from the big book, page 98. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trust in God and clean house. Now, the domestic problem. There may be divorce, separation, or just strained relations. When your prospect has made such reparation as he can to his family and has thoroughly explained to them the new principles by which he is living, he should proceed to put those principles into action at home. That is, if he is lucky enough to have a home. Though his family be at fault in many respects, he should not be concerned about that. He should concentrate on his own spiritual demonstration. Argument and fault-finding are to be avoided like the plague. In many homes, this is a difficult thing to do, but it must be done if any results are to be expected. If persisted in for a few months, the effect on a man's family is sure to be great. The most compatible people discover they have a basis upon which they can meet. Little by little, the family may see their own defects and admit them. These can be discussed in an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness. So I like that reading, but I actually have a second reading that I like to read that I really, really related to. That really speaks a lot to my own experience, and it's called Actions of Love, and it's from Real Connection, September 15th, and it starts with, we began practicing a positive sobriety, taking the actions of love to improve our relations with others. That's from the White Book, page 62. After dropping my wife at her work, and heading to my office, I noticed her coffee mug was still in the car. Decision point, press on to my work, thus saving me valuable minutes and increasing my chance of being on time, or should I loop around the block and carry my wife's coffee to her office? My character defects often cause me to react with anxiety and anger if I am late for anything. Thinking back on it, there was only one right choice. Take the action of love and deliver her coffee. However, at that moment, sitting at a traffic light, calculating how much this would delay my arrival at work, the choice was unclear, and my selfish side made a convincing argument to keep driving to my office. Thankfully, I chose love, brought the coffee to my wife, and received a second goodbye kiss. Not sure if that was an 8-second kiss, but... After taking that next right action, I recall that my office allows for a flexible arrival, and somehow my coworkers would survive if I were 10 minutes later than usual. Perhaps it is time I did more step work on this defect. And the reflection says, higher power, please help me remember to choose the actions of love. And I really like that that reflection, because and it's about finding those actions of love. And I've been reminded of that over and over this weekend as I was kind of trying to prepare or not prepare for this couples meeting, right? The topic is building trust brick by brick. And, you know, I'm trying to do that every day, and I fail greatly at it sometimes, you know. Sometimes I'm reminded that I'm a selfish SOB, you know, and that's why I'm in these rooms, because I am so selfish, you know, and, you know, taking the trash out, gosh, you know, I didn't take the trash out this morning, you know, and, or maybe I took the trash out, but didn't put that damn bag in the trash can, you know, and so, you know, and it's those little things, and that's what I keep being reminded of this weekend, is those little things that matter. You know, we talked about intimacy earlier this morning, and again, it's those little things in intimacy. It's not that one big thing, you know. It's all those little things, and that's how I try to do my part in rebuilding trust. And is my wife going to ever trust me again 100%? I wish, you know, but I don't think so, and that's okay, because You know, all I know is that I'm doing my part and trying to be rigorously honest. I spent a lot of my life not being honest with myself, and of course, therefore not with my wife and my family and my program, my friends. And now, I'm trying to make up for that and be honest and the little things and the big things, you know. And I'm trying to put those bricks together one by one, and sometimes those bricks do fall apart. And when those questions come at me, and they do come at me, sometimes they come at me all at once, and sometimes it's just one question, and I answer it, and we go on with our lives. And sometimes that one question isn't enough, and that's okay. And I have to remind myself that I can't get upset about that, because I did all these things, and these are the things that this is what happens. You know, actions have consequences. We tell our kids. Well, I have to tell myself that too. So anyway, thanks for letting me share, and I think so now is the time for sharing, because our common welfare comes first. Here are the guidelines for sharing. If you wish to share, please mindful there's no crosstalk or cross-table discussions, even between partners. That is, we share with the group as a whole rather than addressing comments or questions by name to individual members. We limit the length of our sharing so that everyone here will have a chance to speak. This is a special meeting which deals specifically with couples' relationships, but our purpose in sharing is to discuss ourselves, not our partners. We avoid analysis or criticism of one another, gossip, giving advice, and dwelling on intimate details of our problems. The Couples in Recovery meeting is not the place to surprise our partners with revelations about the past or present. It is a place to share how we are feeling within our relationships, how our experience, strength, and hope regarding our recovery from the impact of sexualism on the relationship are related to the topic at hand, and how we are using the tools of the program to improve our relationships. We stress that sharing be pertinent to couples' relationships, and that if you wish to talk about your partner, he or she must be present. After one partner shares, their partner is invited to share next or simply say pass. Our meetings focus on the Essanon and SA approach to recovery, so we avoid the mention of or discussion of specific titles and authors of publications other than Essanon, Al-Anon, SA, and AA. We leave our other identities outside the discussion, including other 12-step programs and issues, religions, therapies, treatment facilities, and occupations. We speak about and from the Essanon and SA point of view. Each member of the group is encouraged to remind other members of our commitment to these Essanon guidelines. You may do so simply by raising your hand. If necessary, the leaders will interrupt to share if the Essanon guideline for couples meetings are not followed. If you have any questions, we invite you to speak with our leaders after the meeting closes. Okay. We limit our sharing to 2 minutes per person so that everyone here will have a chance to speak. After the meeting goes off, we will have 15 seconds to wrap up. And if time does allow, we'll allow members to share again. So the meeting is now open for sharing. So when you're ready, just have a seat up here. We have two sides here, so feel free to join us and start sharing your rebuilding trust by brick by brick.
I'm Tupper.
Hi, Tupper.
Is it on? Okay. That's a great topic for me, building trust, and I'm glad to be in another couples meeting and do a little more sharing. Several people already this weekend have mentioned raised voices and how damaging that is. And I like to think of myself as a nice guy, as one of my primary methods of getting by in life is to have a facade of being a nice guy. And I do not like to think of myself as one who raises his voice, but I do that a lot, and it has come due to my own fear and frustration, and annoyance and anger and all of those other not so nice emotions. So this is what I'm learning here, is that for me to build trust from Nahid, I do have to curtail that behavior of raising my voice, and I really do try to, well, I don't like that word try. I really do listen to Nahid these days and to not react at all. I know, I trust her that she is looking out for my best interest, and she has enough faith in me to stick by me here for 43 years of marriage, and to still is hoping that I will improve and become the person that she needs me to be. And I wholeheartedly agree with that project. And and I wanted to say that that's what I'm doing to build trust, is that you know, life is problematic and there's maintenance issues, and I'm halfway skilled at those things and not an engineer or a handyman, and I do my best on those things, but they're very aggravating, and I need to just, you know, show up and do the best I can, and trust that I, working together, we're going to work with these issues, and that's my role, is to maintain my composure and my temper. And I'm hoping that will build trust, and we can continue to be good parents to our now grown daughters and be good grandparents to our granddaughters now. So life goes on here, and I'm so glad to share on this topic, and I can hope to live up to some of the things I just said. Thanks.
Thank you, Tucker. I'm Nahid. Building trust. Well, I can say, there was a monster of lust living with for 43 years. And that monster has been reduced to a bug. But I can still not squish it. It would have been good. Let's get rid of this bug, and because in the midst of this kind of problems that Tupper was talking about, as he was talking about repairs and stuff, my problem is not that he wants to do 1 hour and he's done. I want him to say, I am tired, rather than using another excuse to raise his voice that I did something wrong. That is really the main problem. And then for me to trust that I can be safe in the little daily things in life that we are taking care of, and in your sobriety, that, like I said, it is a bug. It is that turn of the head. We are driving in the car. And it has been reduced. The bug is getting smaller and smaller. But I want to, I feel jealous of people that they know that feeling of safety of being with their man. Even the safety to the point that I think that when I die, the life we have built together, it is in the safe hand. Is the bug going to get bigger? Is it going to fly all over? So there is some of that. And all I have to go back, I have learned in this program, is the one day at a time, celebrating the things that go positively, hope better. I mean, this weekend has been a great opportunity to surface some of these things that I'm grateful right now he brought up this anger issue, because that right now is a bigger monster in our life than lusting or doing something out there. So brick by brick. So that is the brick we are working on right now, putting to start. Right now it is sand by sand. But hopefully it will become a brick. It will make it a lot easier. But it is so wonderful to be here. You know, always there is that tiny bit of resistance, and as soon as I arrive here, I love coming across people I have known for years, to even have resistance and get the microphone and share and feel like that I am a part of it. These people are all in the boat that I'm rowing today. And how precious that experience is. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Adria, grateful recovering Essanon. Thank you for the meeting. My first D-Day, I used to say that I was completely blindsided. But after working and reflection, I realized that the signs were there, but I would quiet them, and I didn't trust myself. I would gaslight myself, tell myself that I was sabotaging my relationship, you know, you're crazy, he's absolutely mad about you, and, you know, none of this, what's going on in your head is crazy. And I put myself through that for a really long time. After discovery, our trust was shattered, and I felt like he was the one that needed to do everything to rebuild it. After another D-Day, I realized that I needed to start trusting myself, trusting my gut, trusting my higher power. My sponsor tells me a lot that if I can trust that my higher power loves and cares about me, then I'm going to be okay. And I'm able to take those words and also realize that there's a lot that I need to do to rebuild the trust in our relationship as well. I have to give some of myself, a lot of myself. I have to take leaps of faith. And for me, it's terrifying to share how I'm really feeling. I'll dance around my feelings a lot. Rather than be direct, because I'm afraid, it hasn't been safe for me to do that from the time that I was a little girl. And so I have to jump, and I'll wrap it up, and give to my partner as well. I can't just expect him to do all the work. And so that's how I'm working on rebuilding the trust, by proving that I can do it too. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Eric. Adria mentioned a second D-Day, and, you know, there was a time, the amount of dishonesty and lying, like, shocks me, like, that I am capable of, right? Like, the gaslighting. And there was a period of time where I was saying, you're safe with me, when she was not really safe. And I'd say, like, being current, it's almost impossible for me to actually say you're safe with me today, because they're just words. And so what am I left with? I've had to learn how to trust myself, and like actually like warming up to like, how you actually doing, Eric? How are you doing? And what I've found is if I clean house on my side of the street, when I look at my character defects, and not just that they're out there, but that they're me, and I share those, like, just, I mean, like, the skimp of the bottom of what I actually feel about myself, the world, all of you at times, you know, and share that honestly, oh my gosh, you know, make mistakes along the way. I've made plenty of my mouth when it opens up sometimes. Holy smokes, dude. Like, it's unbelievable what comes out of my mouth. But there is something in my program, in our program, that says what to do next. And that, you know, for sure, maybe call my sponsor first, right? But no, like, I have an opportunity to make amends every day. And what I have found is if I follow that process time and time again, and to be really current, I realized recently, it's not just that I don't trust me, I don't trust anybody on my own. And I finally admitted that to her. I was like, I don't think I trust you. That's what's going, that's part of this deal. And just to be able to admit that and let it go bit by bit by bit, there's trust. There's this moment where I really see Adria as a human being. She's afraid. Oh my gosh. And then all of a sudden, wow, there's empathy in that. And there's trust lives in that space, and that's where higher power is for me. Thanks.
Thanks, Eric.
Apparently this weekend's for you to get to know me better. Hi, I'm Michelle. I'm going to start with the AA reading that he had shared earlier, and it was, but I'm going to change it, the pronouns. Though my family is at fault in many respects, I should not be concerned about that. I should concentrate on my own spiritual demonstration. Argument and fault finding are to be avoided like the plague in many homes. Sorry, I was getting a phone call. In many homes, this is a difficult thing to do, but it must be done if any results are to be expected. I find it really powerful when I change pronouns in the reading to me and I. And when we talk about trust, because it's a topic that comes up in meetings a lot, right? I realize that it was my codependency in other people that I gave away my trust. I didn't have any for myself. I trusted everyone else to make every decision for me, from what belt I wore with my pants to what I should do with my life. And sometimes situations that I ended up in, that was the decision to be made. I just needed to continue to do the right next or the next right thing. But when I talk about rebuilding trust, it's not with him. It's with me. I have to build my ability to trust myself with the things that come my way. I can't trust other people anymore. That includes him, with 100% of me, because I need some of that for me. And I can trust that God's got me. And that's where my priority lays in rebuilding trust now, is that God's going to provide for me the things that I need. And when he needs me to step up, when God needs me to step up, I got it. And I'm going to be okay. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Michelle. Thanks, Michelle. I'm Steve, sexaholic. She drags me up here every single time, just so you know. Rebuilding bricks of trust. I mean, we've even had a discussion today about trust, and I realize that you guys ever build a house of cards, and you just work really hard to get it balanced, and, you know, one little thing just crumples out of the ground. That seems to happen to me all the time in our marriage, but what keeps me going is knowing that I'm working the program, that there are people that I can call and handle, and at the same time, I'm so very grateful that my wife is also working a program. That in itself is a foundation of trust, and I have to check with her every once in a while to say, you still in this? Are you still willing? Because, you know, I fall all the time. I'm beginning to understand the words of stop using the ideal of perfection. You know, I am not perfect. I'm not going to be perfect. But I sure tried to control everything like I was. And I didn't trust myself. And I didn't trust myself so much because I had a secret life that I couldn't even trust her. And there is a lot of love, and there always has been a lot of love there. But from the day we met and from the day we got married, I still didn't trust myself, what I would do or what I was going to do. I just, you know, gave this persona of who I was and what I was. And so there's a lot of pitfalls going backwards and learning who I am to build trust in myself, but also to trust that, you know, my spouse is there with me. And no matter how good I think that I'm doing, you know, I could always improve more and I can always do it. And, you know, I think it was said earlier, I don't think that she'll ever trust me. That's the nature of the trauma and the betrayal that I know that I had a part in. But I don't want to work on that with anybody any harder than I do with my spouse. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Don't be shy. While you guys are working up the courage, we do have some couples flyers up here. We have a couples meeting that we attend in the LA or in the Orange County area. Oh, it's the LA area. That's true. It's the whole area here. And we really found that these couples meetings have been great for our recovery together. They are Essanon meetings that, you know, just like the script here said. But they've been, for me personally, I guess I'll speak for myself, they have been instrumental in my recovery with my wife. And, you know, to see other couples in their recovery and how they share together, individually, but as, you know, together, I guess. I don't know, it's kind of weird to say it that way. But it has been something that's really helped me in how I see things and from other people's perspective. And to hear the Essanon partner share in that setting has just been, you know, just been incredible for me. And, you know, we hear it here at the Unity Conference once a year, international once a year, but we get to hear it two or three times a month. And to us, that's invaluable. So I highly recommend, if you don't have a couples meeting in your area, what a great time to start one. Right? So this is exactly what it's like, what we're doing here right now. So it's not scary, it's easy to do. So anyway, who's next?
Hi, I'm Andrea. The first thing Donovan asked me when I asked if he wanted to go up here was, well, what are you going to say? If you were in the last session, you know that we're currently separated, living apart. And Friday, yesterday, I called him to see if he was coming to the conference, which isn't my place, 0 days emotionally sober. But he was honest with me. And it would have been so easy, especially over the phone, especially not in person, like face-to-face, to lie, but he didn't. You know, he told me he forgot about it and things like that, and he showed up today. And so a previous share mentioned a piece of sand, and that was like a lofty piece of sand, like the one that's like you can notice in your shoe, you like want to get it out. It was like that size. So thank you for your honesty. It helps build trust.
Donovan.
Oh, that's loud.
Donovan. Sexaholic. Yeah, I did forget about it. I hadn't been to a few of the meetings, and I was like, oh, I'll just sign up next time I go to a meeting. Well, the next time I was going to a meeting was the weekend of the event, so I'm down here now. Yeah, I did want to be dishonest with Andrea, and it before, and that's really what I'm working on is honesty. I'm really, 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 really used to lying, just for about little things too, you know, just to make myself look a little bit better. And I did want to lie to Andrea. I didn't. And that was difficult for me, for sure. And just big things and little things. They are those are the ways that I'm trying to rebuild trust, the little bit I can, is just being the person that I'm projecting out into the world, like in my real life. Not just projecting that and then being whoever I am on the other end, you know, really trying my best to be one person, not two. That's how I'm trying to rebuild trust.
Thank you.
Thank you, Danny.
Hi, I'm Mary. So the broken trust that finding out about Ron's secret life, and I got into S&M really, really quick. I learned I had to be trustworthy. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm the most trustworthy person there is. He's the one that broke the trust, right? But if I want him to be honest and vulnerable and share his feelings and all of that, there's got to be a safe place to do that. And I can practice being that safe place. So that was one of the first things that I had to accept, is that I had to become trustworthy, and that was mentioned before. But when I came into the program, my first qualifier was my dad. He was loud. He took all the energy out of the room. It was a constant trying to make sure that he doesn't explode. And so when I met Ron, he was like the exact opposite. Just this kind of this calm, gentle soul. And I got really confused because I'm like, wait a minute. I trusted him with everything, my whole heart. What is it? And I realized that I would trust everybody because in my head, I would make them safe when they weren't. And I certainly did that in our relationship. But what I was starting to realize is that I did with everyone. That they would show me not to be safe, and I would blindly trust them. So my thing with trust is, is this person emotionally safe or not? Because my meter on that was really messed up. And so now I'm much better after years in the program of being able to identify and trust myself, which has been mentioned, to be able to identify if someone is not safe or not. And that includes him. Been together 46 years. And sometimes he doesn't feel safe. But that's the part of both of us being in program, is we can talk about it, and I can say, I'm not feeling safe right now. I'm not really trusting it right now. But keeping working on it every day, both working on programs, it does build brick by brick. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Mary. Hi, Rod. There was a time in my recovery about 10 years ago, a little bit longer, that really impacted, and I've been in recovery for over 16 years, so it was a relapse. And what I learned in that relapse was the sick part of me cannot be trusted with her trust. And it's taken me a long time to kind of accept that in myself. And what she has shared with, what Barry has shared with me and what I've learned is that trust comes from trustworthy behavior. And that can change on a dime. One untrustworthy act can impact that. Now, I tend to live with visuals. I mean, I find that very helpful. And when we got together, Barry is one that could go really deep and is very comfortable there. So I picture her as that deep sea diver with the helmet down on the bottom of the ocean. And I'm the one on the surface that's just barely sticking my face under the water just to see that she's down there. Where I see trust is that it's safe for me to go deeper. And what helps me feel safe going deeper is Mary's willingness to come up to the surface a little bit. And hence the four plus hours on the patio in the morning, you know, just having those conversations that go deeper and deeper. And I can remember where I would think, oh my gosh, is this gonna go on any longer? Well, now I'm participating in that and contributing to the additional hours. So anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Ron.
Hi, I'm Ted.
Hi, Ted.
I think what I want to talk about is what are the impediments to building trust and being honest? And I think what I've learned in program is I struggle with being honest and trustworthy when I'm afraid. And what am I afraid of is that Yvonne gets up and leaves. The timing was perfect. That's what I'm afraid of. That in fact, if she saw the real me, she would leave the room, and she would leave the relationship. And so, in our building and trying to rebuild a trust, a relationship that's built on trust, is the fact that, and I talked about this a little in the earlier couples meeting, is that she is in this for the long run, and that she accepts me for who I am, and the flaws, she accepts me for who I am. And if I feel that I'm in that place of acceptance, I can be honest and I can share anything, because I know that if I'm open and honest and share what's going on, she's not going to leave the room screaming. That's the fear that I have, and it's really building that trust, that being for me to perceive Yvonne of being trustworthy, and knowing that whatever I say, she can accept it. And so that's my share. My being dishonest is fear-based. If I can get through that fear and not worry about her running out the door, I'll be okay.
Thanks, Ted.
Hi, I'm Yvonne. I'm staying right here. I heard a lot about trustworthy behavior in the shares. And that really is it. And it's on both sides. I mean, for me, that was a huge part of rebuilding trust. To accept that he was working on rebuilding trust, I also had to project trustworthy behavior. He actually had to trust me too. That was an important piece of it. In the beginning I thought, I can never trust you again, blah, blah, blah. It was not about me. And the truth is, it's about both of us. It is a relationship. And we're both flawed human beings and all that stuff. I mean, when we first started in this program, I don't know, 25 times a day, one or the other of us would say, progress, not perfection. And was really, really important, because that was like the beginning of, I didn't realize it at the time, but that was the beginning of rebuilding trust, that I had to accept, first of all, me as an imperfect person, and to accept him as an imperfect person. And just this process of, you know, almost 15 years has been that journey. And yes, there have been speed bumps and mountains and other things in the road, and we just have worked together to get over them or around them or whatever it's been. And I don't know, as I shared at the previous thing, that the first thing I did that night when I found out was write the list of the things I wanted in a divorce. Some of you may heard me say that, but that was just, I needed to clear my head, and that's where that came from. I don't think there was ever any thought after that night of leaving. Is that me? We'd been together for 27 years. We had raised two kids who were then adults. And it's like he chose recovery. I often share that in my meetings. I'm blessed that my husband chose recovery at the same time I did. And I think that's been just a huge part of it, that we've been on this journey together, and I keep learning that actually I have a part, a larger and larger part in this, and that is a huge part of that is that I have to exhibit trustworthy behavior also. Anyway, thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, Ellen. All right, thank you everybody for being here and for the great shares, and thank you for asking us to be your leaders tonight. Please remember that this is an anonymous program. Please keep all names and shares you have heard in this meeting to yourselves. After a moment of silence, will you please join us in saying the third step prayer?